It is such a blessing and a privilege to be here. You have no idea. And when Liz asked me to do this months ago, I said sure, because usually when the Lord is putting something before you, an opportunity and a privilege like this, he wants you to just go for it and do it. But then you get scared because you're like, oh, what are you going to teach me, Lord? Usually it's a lesson that you need to learn, and it's usually not always easy. So we are going to talk about waiting, and I'm going to share hopefully what the Lord has put on my heart, the things that he is showing me. I haven't learned it all, believe me. I struggle, but I am hoping and been praying that the Lord would use what I've prepared to minister to your hearts, because we all need encouragement. It is hard. Life is hard. And you ask any woman, and we all have a story of things that you might have these great joys, but you have these other things that threaten your joy, don't they? And they threaten to pull you under. And so tonight we're going to talk about a topic of waiting. So let's just bow before the Lord together. Father, you have prepared my heart for this night, and it is such a joy to be with these sisters in the Lord. Lord, we need each other. We need the body. We need to encourage each other. And thank you that you give us the body, and that you give us a depth of relationship as sisters and brothers in the Lord that the world doesn't understand or know. And it's just amazing to share Christ and to share the gift of salvation. As we just sang your praises, you're a wonderful, merciful counselor. And Lord, you're our Savior and Redeemer and friend. Lord, we have all that we need in Christ, but yet we struggle so much in this world with things that aren't happening in our timetable or according to our expectations. So much time waiting. Lord, teach us how waiting is good. Teach us how waiting is where you work on our hearts. You're working to make us more like Jesus, and that is your goal for us. But it's hard sometimes in the waiting. And sometimes the things we're waiting for are good things, and sometimes they're not coming. And just help us to learn tonight what you want us to learn and really get a new perspective on the waiting. And not to waste the waiting, but to let you use it to make us more like your beloved son. He certainly understood waiting. He waited 33 years to go to the cross, and he knew what was before him. Help us to learn and to grow in understanding and embracing the waiting time that you have all of us in to some extent. We just ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Well, in getting ready to do this topic of waiting, the Lord has been obviously teaching me about waiting. And as we think about waiting, it's not necessarily something that we like to do. The word wait has kind of negative connotations, at least I think for me. I like to go to the store, put it in the cart, and go. I don't like to check things out and wait. I just want to go. I want to get it done. I'm not good at contemplating and considering. And my good friend, my good sister Marcia is here. Her favorite word, musing. I'm not good at musing, meditating, considering. I like to be amused, right? And she always, I think everybody that's been with Marcia or ACA, or they know about musing, but we need to muse. God has made us to consider and use our mind and sometimes wait. It's about all those things that we can't control. Because we can go to the store and put it in the cart and go. But when it's not something that we can do and we have to wait for it, that's what's hard. So, see if I can do this. I have to push the side clicker. Oh, there it goes. Don't waste the waiting. That is what we're going to talk about this weekend. And so in considering don't wasting the waiting, I want you to consider how much of life we spend waiting. We spend a lot of life waiting, and often it's like we just can't wait to get to that thing that we're waiting for. But when we get to that thing, it's almost immediately the next thing that we're waiting for. And so I thought, this is really tiny, but that's okay. We're going to talk about things that we wait for. We wait for Amazon. We wait for vacation. We wait for Friday. We wait when we drop off kids or pick up kids or parents. We wait for food at a restaurant. We wait for summer. We wait for fall. We wait for Christmas. Doctor appointments. Now it gets more serious. Sickness to end. Relationships to heal. Marriage. A child. Loved ones to repent and know Christ. There's a lot of waiting in life. I'm not good at waiting. Randy always likes to recall this in my mind. He's like, don't pull up mom in the Taco Bell line. And you might be saying, what does that mean? He often brings this up. He thinks it's quite comical that one day after church, many years ago, I was in the Taco Bell line for Randy near our house, which is no longer there. It's been a long, long time. And I put my order in, and I waited. And I waited. And I waited. And I waited. And like, you hit the point, right, where it's ridiculous. This is ridiculous. And I left. I'm like, I'm not waiting anymore. And he's like, oh, he teases me. Oh, those people inside, they must have thought, where'd that lady go? He's always teasing me and telling Shane, don't be mom in the Taco Bell line. So that is how well I wait. How about one other thing that came to mind? Horns. Let's talk about horns for just a minute. Horns in New Jersey. It's just part of our vehicle, right? We're doing horns. Somebody's missed the red light. Hey, it's red. Go, go. You know, we're like, oh, hey, sorry, right? Michigan, you don't do that. I don't think we've even heard a horn in Michigan. If you use your horn, it would be like, what is your problem? Why are you honking? Because Michigan, that is not nice. West Michigan nice is a thing. It's a real thing. People refer to it. Our pastor last week talked about West Michigan nice. It's a real phrase people use. We don't use horns. We don't use horns. Horns, what do they imply? I'm in a hurry. I'm waiting for you. Go, 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 go. So again, waiting. We don't like to wait. We use our horns well in New Jersey, which is fine. I like my horn, and I've had to learn to control myself. Don't use it. And my girls will say, Mom, you're acting like you're in New Jersey. But anyway, all that is a sign, again, that we are not patient people. We don't like to wait. We don't like to wait. And I would suggest to you that waiting is often negative. Waiting has a lot of negative connotations. But tonight I want to look at four ways that waiting is good. How are you waiting? Are you wasting the waiting? So, are you the person on the left? Really, Lord? Come on. Or are you the person on the right? Lord, I'm ready, but I'm patiently waiting. And I have to ask myself this a lot. So we're going to look at four ways that waiting is good. Waiting is God's design. Waiting teaches us to trust and rest in God's promises and character. Waiting teaches us to remember our purpose to be a living sacrifice. And waiting teaches us to praise. So I want to just take a look at that. We all know the song, strength will rise as we wait upon the Lord, wait upon the Lord, wait upon the Lord. And we repeat it. And I'm like, I don't feel like I get stronger when I wait upon the Lord. I actually feel like I get weaker. And we're going to look at some characters tomorrow who were not so great examples of waiting. But I'm not a very good example of waiting either, but we're going to try to refocus how we wait and not waste the waiting. So, number one, waiting is God's design. Listen to this quote. What's striking when you consider that God is a God of promise is that it means, let me start over. What is striking is that when you consider that God is a God of promise, it means that waiting, I don't know why I can't read this. What's striking when you consider that God is a God of promise is that it means that our lives are by design lives of waiting. You understand? God is a God of promise. That means our lives by design are lives of waiting. A promise is something coming. God is a God of promise. It's not the right now. So, wait and hope are used interchangeably in the Bible. And I love this because, I'm going to start with this verse here. But we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit grown inwardly as we wait eagerly for our adoption to sonship, the redemption of our bodies. For in this hope we were saved. But hope that is seen is no hope at all. Who hopes for what he already has? But if we hope for what we do not yet have, we wait for it patiently. And obviously that's talking about our ultimate hope to be with Christ and in glory. But wait and hope are used interchangeably in the Bible. So I just wanted you to take a look at this. Conveniently located at by my little Bible reading station are my NIV and Randy's NASB. So I pulled them both out. My version says, well, one of the versions, I can't remember who says which one. One of them says hope, one of them says wait for these verses. So we're just going to look at these verses together. Psalm 25:5, guide me in your truth and teach me, for you are God my Savior, and my hope is in you all day long. Lead me in your truth and teach me, for you are the God of my salvation. For you I wait all the day. My soul faints with longing for your salvation, but I have put my hope in your word. My soul languishes for your salvation. I wait for your word. Those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. Those who wait in the Lord will gain new strength. So wait, the definition, is to stay where one is or delay in action until a particular event. Feels negative. Hope is a feeling of expectation and desire that something's going to happen. It feels more positive. Maybe it's just me, but in my mind, waiting, I'm like, I don't want to wait. Hope, oh, hopeful. It sounds better. But they are used interchangeably, and they do imply something's coming. And so I did a little word study in the Bible and wanted to figure out who are some Bible characters that waited. So just shout out some Bible characters that waited, and I'll go to the next slide after you shout some and see if we get the same ones. Who are some Bible characters that had to wait? Sarah? Joseph? Hannah? Noah? Moses? Jonah? Let's see. We have Abraham, yep. So Noah, we know, waited 100 years building the ark. Sarah, 25 years for the promised child. Ooh, did I put that on funny? Moses, 40 years in the wilderness before he was called. Joseph, 2 years in prison. Hannah, years of being childless. David, waiting to be king, running for his life. Tamar, we're going to talk about her. Years of desolate marriage, suffering, and shame. Jesus, 33 years, knowing his ultimate purpose was the cross. If the heroes of the faith, including our Savior, had to wait, it's clearly something God uses by design to accomplish his purpose in our lives. It makes us recognize our total dependence on him because we don't have control. So much of life we don't have control of. So I said, how are you waiting? Wrestling always in the moment. I've just been thinking a lot about that, and I feel like that's how I wait. Waiting is not something you just figure out how to do. It's wrestling always in the moment. Have you had those mornings where you're struggling with something and you get up and you pray and you're like, okay, all right, okay, this thing or whatever it is, I gave it to the Lord, okay. And then you're driving your car and the tears start flowing. Wait, I gave it to the Lord. I'm wrestling always in the moment. It's just a moment by moment. And it's hard. It's hard. Waiting is hard. So there's the fam. Oh, we got another daughter. You guys didn't know we adopted Rebecca, did you? That's my family in my kitchen in New Jersey. And so many of you know our story of waiting in the transition from going from New Jersey to Michigan. That was a lesson in waiting. Randy introduced the idea, probably now, it's been several years, but maybe 5 years ago now, and said, hey, what do you think about this? And there were tears, I don't know, why would we? Yeah, we love our Michigan family. We don't want to go to, no, we love New Jersey. We love everything. No. And there were tears, and it was bad. And Randy's like, oh, wow, that didn't go very well. I don't think we're going to be doing that. And then the time, and we brought it up again, and the girls were like, oh, yeah, you know, they were not married, out of college, the two older ones, yeah, maybe we will try it and see. You know, they weren't married. I don't think they'd mind me sharing. I'm not gonna if I'm gonna try to say things that I know they would be okay with if they're sitting here, just to make you, you know, let you know that, because I don't ever want to share if they weren't okay. But they weren't married and they want to be married, and that's their desire. They want to be wives and mothers, and there's more churches there. Why not go to Michigan and see what it's like? See how you do. Well, there's jobs, there's a lot of things. So we ended up buying a house in faith, thinking if we do go, at least they'll have a place to live, and we can always sell the house if we decide not to go. So they lived in the house, the two girls, with another girl, and they settled in. Natalie graduates, and she decides to go too. We're waiting all this time. Another year goes by. We're like, I don't know when we'll get there, Natalie. We don't know. Maybe Shane will finish high school. We just don't know. And then one summer day, after Natalie's already out there, now we're going back probably two or three years, I guess, Randy said, I don't know. I might have my years wrong, so don't call me. But he said, I think it's time. And I said, wow, really? So we prayed about it for a whole year. And that's when we announced it in, I think, February. But we were praying about it in the summer and just beginning to really process it with people slowly, slowly, slowly. And we told the church in February and we moved in May. But it took a long time. In the waiting, God had to change all of our hearts. He had to make us ready. We're just not ready. And sometimes we're going to see that with our study of our two women tomorrow. Our heart is what has to change. Waiting is to help us. It's part of the event itself. It's the in-between that God uses. Because you know, once we arrive at that thing we're waiting for, we're just going to the next thing. Waiting is where God works. So waiting teaches us to trust and rest in God's promises and character. When we cannot control the situation, we go to the one who can and is always in complete control. This involves disciplining our mind, focusing on the character of God. Who is God? Not why is this happening? Who is God? Not why is this happening? We all do that. Why, Lord? Why? But Lord, why? It's so easy to get caught up in our circumstances. When we don't understand, we have the privilege to go to the one who completely understands. Oh, the depth of the riches of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable his judgments and his paths beyond tracing out. Who has known the mind of the Lord? Who has been his counselor? Who has given to God that God should repay them? For from him and through him and for him are all things. To him be the glory forever. Amen. Ladies, this isn't easy. We know these answers. We know these answers. But it is hard. It is hard in the waiting. Sometimes waiting it can just be excruciating. Recently, we had some times with one of our daughters. She had walked through some really difficult things with her job, with relationships. I couldn't fix it. Randy couldn't fix it. We did ask the Lord, Lord, why? She's so faithful. She does this. She's so faithful, Lord. Why? This is so awful. And we don't know. We sit, we talk, we cry, we pray. It doesn't change the situation. It changes us because we can't understand why, but we know who God is. We need to remember, because when we watch our child hurt, that pain takes your breath away. I was talking to somebody earlier. It's you almost just can't, you feel physically not right. But we have to know that God knows. His son died. His son suffered by sinful man for us. He knows pain. He watched him die. He understands. We don't understand why the pain has to come. It's not good. We're not going to call pain good. Pain's not good. But God uses it. God uses it, ladies. It's hard, though. We're familiar with Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. Let me ask you, in the times of waiting, in the times when it's hard, what kind of sheep are you? Are you lying down in the green pasture? Or are you saying, bah, bah, that. Look at the field over there. I want to go over there. I want to go over there. Are you being a good sheep? Are you listening to your shepherd? He says, lay down. This is a really good field for you. There's some water right there. But look over there. Look, that feels good, Lord. I know that feels good. See, it's got a stream. And the Lord's like, there's a cliff. You're going to fall off. Just relax and stay in my field I gave you. And I asked myself that question. We want to question his goodness. We want to question the shepherd's goodness. He's our good shepherd. We doubt him. We doubt him in those moments. And I'm not calling evil things good. There are bad things that happen. I'm not saying that. But he's sovereign. He's sovereign and he knows. And the worst thing that ever happened in history, the death of Jesus Christ on a cross, the perfect Son of God, is the worst evil that could ever happen. And he accomplished his greatest good, our salvation. So if he can do that, he can make any situation we're dealing with into something, the beauty from the ashes. But it is wrestling always in the moment. Wrestling always in the moment. But waiting teaches us to remember our purpose to be a living sacrifice. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. My favorite picture. Oh, get yourself laying down before the Lord. Lay down those expectations, ladies. My plans, my will, my expectations. This is not going according to my plan, Lord. Lay it down. It is not about me. It's about making Christ great. When we are weak, when we are dependent, he is strong. His power is made perfect in weakness. I don't need to understand. I don't need to like it. I need to walk through it, and I need to obey. I will extol the Lord at all times. His praise will always be on my lips. It's not about me. Wasn't Jesus the suffering servant? How can we be living sacrifices and think that we're not going to suffer? Die to ourselves. God knows the ways each of us are going to learn the best, and he allows things into our life for his purposes and his reason. And I can't help but think, and this isn't in my notes, but I can't help but think of Charlie Kirk and his death. And we've all been talking about it. We all know about it. And it's so awful. But wow, is God using it in ways that we're like, wow, wow, Lord. That's just one example. He uses our pain and our suffering. And I wasn't going to share this, but I'm going to share just a little bit, Marcia. Can I share just a touch? I won't. Marcia came to my house, and it was during a really difficult time that we were having. And I know she's suffering. I know she has things going on. And she can speak truth because she suffers. And ladies, it's hard. When you're suffering, it's hard. But know that God can use that to minister. He can use it to minister. We don't like it. We don't want it. Nobody wants suffering. But Marcia ministered to myself and my daughter. You really blessed us, sister. And God uses it. He uses it. Just be encouraged. That's just to encourage you because it's awful. And we don't like it. We just don't like it. Who likes it? We shouldn't like it. If we do, we have a problem. So how are you waiting? Wrestling always in the moment. Finally, waiting teaches us to praise God. And this is a passage of scripture that I read probably every day for several months when we were going through some hard things. And I'll share a little bit more about that tomorrow, some of the hard things. To whom will you compare me? Who is my equal, says the Holy One? Lift up your eyes and look to the heavens. Who created all these? He who brings out the starry hosts one by one and calls for each of them by name. Because of his great power and mighty strength, not one of them is missing. Why do you complain, Jacob? Why do you say, Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, my cause is disregarded by my God? Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary. His understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not be weary. They will walk and not be faint. Why do we think God can't see us? He sees us. He sees every tear we cry, every prayer we pray. This verse, Psalm 56:8, you keep track of all my sorrows. You've collected all my tears in your bottle. You've recorded each one in your book. He hears everyone. We need to remind ourselves of this, ladies. We need to encourage ourselves when we're downcast. And then we need to praise him. Waiting teaches us we have nowhere to go. We can't control anything. But I can praise my Lord. I will exalt the Lord at all times. His praise will always be on my lips. We can do that. When we can't control anything else, we can do that. So when you are just at the end of it and you can't even think, put a praise song on. Go to your quiet place where you're alone and you can just get on your knees and talk to the Lord. Cry. Just cry. He meets you in that place. He knows and he shows you himself. The Lord is near to the brokenhearted and he saves those that are crushed in spirit. He knows. He knows you're waiting. We're going to talk about two women that waited longer than I would venture to say anybody in this room, because nobody's 90. Is anybody 90? Sarah was 90. Maybe somebody's, no, I don't think so. So we're going to talk about some women that waited. They waited a long time. And we're going to get in their shoes a little bit. I've been trying to just get in their shoes and walk through their lives a little bit so that we can understand and know that these women before us who are noted Tamars in the family line of Jesus and Sarah, you know, she had Isaac. They're pretty notable women. And we're going to see and we're going to look at the ways that they had to wait and the failure and the suffering and the hurting. Because we need to know that God wrote that for us to be encouraged. Not that we want other people to suffer, but ladies, we know that when somebody else can get on your wavelength because they've had a similar situation or they're suffering with the same thing, we find comfort in that. It helps to know we're not alone. We're relational people. We need to know other people aren't suffering. We're not suffering something unique. We need each other. We need to talk to each other. We need that fellowship. We need to remember and remind each other we're not home yet, and our ultimate waiting is for our Savior, Jesus Christ, and we have an inheritance that is guaranteed for us. That alone also helps us in the waiting, because we have to remind ourselves this is not our home. We eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who by the power that enables him to bring everything under his control will transform our lowly bodies so that we will become like his glorious body. Days can be long, but the years fly by. Sometimes our problem, our waiting, is heavy. It can be hard to step out of our circumstances, hard to have an eternal perspective. Waiting causes us to long for a place where every tear is wiped away and there's no more pain or suffering, and it teaches us to long for Jesus now and taste and see that he is good. He is sufficient, and someday we will be with him forever, and that is our hope and that is our encouragement. Let's pray. Father, we know that you are a God of promise. And because of that, we have to wait. You've created us to learn in the waiting. Jesus waited to go to the cross to fulfill your plan. You are working all things for the good of those that love you. And sometimes it's not our timetable. You're eternal. Time means nothing to you. But to us, sometimes we get bent out of shape when it's not in our time. But time is when you teach us. Let us not waste the waiting. Let us learn the waiting. Help us to get our eyes on you. And remember that waiting is your design. You teach us about understanding your promises in the waiting and who you are. And you minister to us in those times. It might feel like a desert, but Lord, you're always near. We're never apart from you. And help us to remember your goodness and your tenderness and your love and your affection and your mercy and your grace and your redemption when we're in those really deserty places. Lord, I pray for every woman in this room. I know that some have very heavy burdens, and they've been waiting a long time for things, relationships that are broken, situations that are just impossible, longings on their heart. Lord, you know time is not an issue with you. You are working in each of us to make us more like your beloved Son. You are good all the time. Just because we don't understand your ways doesn't mean you're not good. You're always good and you're always right. Forgive us when we question your goodness. Forgive us when we don't come under what you're trying to do in us. Help us to wait well and not waste the waiting. And just in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.